grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, our defender, storms rage about us and cause us to be afraid. Rescue your people from despair. Deliver your sons and daughters from fear, and preserve us from all from unbelief. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Children, I have a question for you. Now, this is a question to see how good your memory is and how well you know Bible stories. There's a story about a baby whose mom loved him very much, and he was in danger. So she put him in a basket. Now, as soon as I say something that you start can remember who it is, put your hand up. She put him in a basket. Charles, your hand went up right away. And David, who is it?
Jesus.
No, his mom put him in a basket and put him in the river, and his basket floated down the river, and he was found by the princess, by the Pharaoh's daughter in Egypt. The Pharaoh's daughter took the basket out of the water and said, I'm going to keep this baby and have him as my son. I'll take care of him. Charles, do you have an idea? Starts with an M. Any idea? Okay, we have to ask the adults. Anybody have an idea, adults? Moses. All right, we got some help. Okay. Trent, do you want to take the Bible? Okay. And let's sing our children off to children's church and come back and you'll know a lot more about Moses. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world.
The first reading is from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, the 20th chapter. O Lord, you have enticed me, and I was enticed. You have overpowered me, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all day long. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I must cry out, I must shout, violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long. If I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, then within me there is something like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. For I hear many whispering, terror is all around. Denounce him. Let us denounce him. All my close friends are watching for me to stumble. Perhaps he can be enticed and we can prevail against him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me like a dread warrior. Therefore my persecutors will stumble and they will not prevail. They will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, you test the righteous. You see the heart and the mind. Let me see your retribution upon them, for to you I have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the needy from the hands of evildoers. The word of the Lord. Let us pray Psalm 69 responsively. It is for your sake that I have borne reproach, that shame has covered my face. It is zeal for your house that has consumed me. The insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. Answer me, O Lord, for your steadfast love is good. According to your abundant mercy, turn to me.
Do not hide your face from your servant, for I am in distress. Make haste to answer me.
Draw near to me, redeem me, set me free because of my enemies.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, will be forever. Amen.
The second reading is from Paul's letter to the Romans, the 6th chapter. Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to Matthew, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the 12, "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them. For nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have come not to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who lose their life, those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. The Gospel of the Lord.
I can never read this passage without thinking of Amy. A number of years ago, I had a confirmation class, 12 and 13-year-olds. This was in South Carolina. And there was a little girl, a child in the class named Amy, who was very intent on learning and studying. And I asked this day, Amy was reading, and she found the right passage in the Bible, and this was the passage. And as she finished reading, I noticed that her eyes were all filled with tears. And I asked her, I said, what do you think this passage means? And what are you thinking about? Because it was so intense. And she said, you know, I've got the best dad in the whole world. He loves me more than anyone could love their child. In fact, there's three kids in our family, and my dad loves each one of us so much. And yet, even as much as my dad loves me, he has no idea how many hairs I have on my head. And she said, and God knows, and God cares. And then she started to cry, and she said, God loves me more than my dad. So deep and so moved. Her just that revelation of God's deep love for her. The whole class was impressed, not so much with Amy's love for her dad or her dad for her, but this idea that this is how much God loves us, even more than the hairs, to knowing how many hairs there are on your head. Don and I were talking about this last night, and he said, yeah, it's getting easier for God to keep track of me. Our lessons this morning tell us of God's deep, deep love for us and the amazing truth that in the midst of duress, God is present. Jeremiah was called by God and sent into the world with a mission. And he saw no glory in that task. In fact, he hated his job. He hated his job so much that in the end, he finally wishes that he could just die. I mean, that's really not wanting to go to work. He admits in our reading this morning that he feels betrayed by God, tricked. Got into this. I didn't know what this was all about. He's the laughingstock of the community. Everyone mocks him. He hates to open his mouth because he knows what comes out is going to be made fun of. He knows that he can't keep it in because it's the truth about the Lord. And he will be ridiculed by everyone who hears it. But he can't keep his mouth shut in that truth. And still, Jeremiah holds out hope in the midst of his troubles. He says, the Lord is with me like a dread warrior. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble. They will not prevail. In the midst of duress, God is present. And Jeremiah ends up singing out to the Lord that there will be delivery, that he will be rescued from the hands of the evildoers. He shouts out, praise the Lord. In the midst of duress, God is present. And our psalm this morning sings that same song. It's a lament psalm. The writer calls out to God in the midst of trouble. Sounds just like Jeremiah. Even in the midst of trouble, the psalmist still prays to God. He still trusts that God's steadfast love will rescue him from his troubles. He trusts God for deliverance. In the midst of duress, God is present. Jeremiah and the writer of this psalm are in the same boat as those 12 apostles who were sent out by Jesus on this mission. We're in that same boat too, aren't we? We have to learn, along with the apostles, that God is present in the midst of our duress. In the midst of all of our troubles, God is here. God is keeping his eye on us. God is caring for us. God is loving us in the midst of our troubles. 25 years ago, there was a new book, a popular book by Scott Peck. Maybe you read The Road Less Traveled, the psycho-spiritual journey book. The opening sentence in that book is a line that many of us know from personal experience. The first sentence in that Road Less Traveled is, "Life is difficult," period. Scott Peck says there's two kinds of people in the world. There's the kind of people who know that life is difficult and come to terms with it, and there are those who never understand that life is difficult, and they drown in the midst of it. Mental health depends on understanding life is difficult. Jeremiah is a healthy person. He knows life is difficult. The psalmist is a healthy person. He knows life is difficult. The disciples are called on by Jesus to be healthy people. Jesus tells them that their mission is going to be difficult. But do not fear, Jesus says. Don't fear. They are promised that in the midst of life's difficulties, God's Spirit will be there to help them. Have no fear, Jesus said. Do not be afraid, Jesus said. He tells his disciples, and he tells us, the followers of Jesus today, I am with you in the midst of your duress. Jesus doesn't give a promise that we won't have difficulties in life, but Jesus does give a promise that he will be with us in the midst of our difficulties. In the midst of our duress, God is present. When we hear these passages, when we let them speak to our heart, and we can be as deeply moved as young Amy was when she pictured God knowing exactly how many hairs on her head, we too can have that firm foundation. We are called to live out our lives as baptized children of God in the midst of the difficulties of daily life. We are called to be Christians, and we know that life is difficult. And these scripture readings today show us how to hold on in the midst of difficulties, just knowing that in the midst of our duress, God is present. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus tells us over and over again, do not be afraid. Do not fear. Now, if Jesus had it in his head that he needed to tell us, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, do not fear, he knew that life was difficult. But there are things in our lives where we are afraid, where we do fear. And Jesus is promising, don't be afraid. I am with you in the midst of your difficulties. Life can be difficult. Being a Christian can be difficult. Family life can be difficult. But even in the midst of that, we are sustained by God's promise that God is with us in the midst of that very difficulty. Even in the face of fear, we fear not. We can trust that God is with us in the losing, in the division, in the conflict. God is with us. Jesus said, "I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword." That's a complicated statement unless we understand that the sword is the cross. That's the sword that Jesus brings. And it is in the cross of Jesus crucified that God is present in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of our duress. God is present. God cares so much for us, even more than for the sparrows, even to knowing exactly how many hairs there are on our heads. God doesn't take us out of the difficulties of life, but he promises to be there with us. One of the saints on the Lutheran calendar is Teresa of Avila. And this 16th century nun was very serious about her walk with the Lord, but she must have had a very good sense of humor as well. This story is told about her. She was busy about trying to reform her convent. The nuns had grown lax and inattentive to their prayer and to their lives as Christians, and Teresa's job, self-appointed, was to tell them to shape up. Well, they'd finally had enough of it, and they threw her out. And they threw her out in the middle of the night on a rainy night, and she is riding along in this donkey cart in the middle of the night in the rain, and the donkey cart hits a ditch and a bump in the road and flips her out into the ditch. And as she fell into the ditch and sat there, she looked up and said, "Lord, if this is how you treat your friends, it's no wonder you don't have more." She understood, like Jeremiah, like the psalmist, like Jesus was teaching those 12, that when things go wrong, turn your heart to God, who is watching, who is loving, who is caring for you. God isn't absent. God is present in the midst of our duress. This is good news. This is our faith. This is what helps us to face troubles and evil in our lives and in the world. In the midst of our duress, God is present. Teresa wrote a prayer that sums up the scripture lessons for today. "Let nothing disturb you. Let nothing make you afraid. All things are passing. God never changes. Patience obtains all things. Nothing is lacking to the one who has God. God alone is enough." As you come to the altar this morning, remember, God alone is enough. In the midst of our duress, God is present, and he loves you, and he cares for you, even so much as knowing exactly how many hairs there are on your head. Amen.